blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dvitiyampi tatiyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What should we look at this morning?
Go ahead. Well, I had, I'd like the assistance looking at the process.
You've come to the right place.
Yeah, and, well, anyway, so I'll just, yeah. So, this week, I feel like I had a bit of a success around seeing through an addiction.
Cool.
Yeah, and so I just want to look at the process around this. Uh-huh. And one thing that's coming up right now is that I don't know whether there's some... okay, so now we've got this figured out, and if I can get the process right, then I can break through every addiction in my life.
Uh-huh.
You know, sort
uh-huh.
of the, yeah, 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 anyway.
First, can folks hear back there? So that's interesting. So
yeah.
It feels like it could be coming from two places,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That so it feels like there was a success this
uh-huh.
week. I took away the bit of
okay.
success, right?
Yeah.
Just a success.
Success.
Right?
Yeah.
There was a success this week
uh-huh.
with maybe seeing through an addiction,
mm-hmm.
and that wanting to kind of look at the process around that,
uh-huh.
because perhaps there's a sense that, gosh, very likely how I do anything is how I do everything.
Exactly.
So if I can see this process, there might be assistance in other places,
right.
and that maybe there could also be an ego takeover
right.
in that. Okay, now
yeah.
if I could just...
Yeah.
yeah,
yeah. The ego input just slipped in as
yeah.
I was about to speak up in group.
Right.
You know, just like...
Right.
Yeah.
But just quickly, it reminds me of that place that has come up a lot, it feels like, in radio shows in the last 6 months
uh-huh.
or so, where someone calls in and says, I'm calling in because ego doesn't want me to.
Yeah.
And what Sherry often reflects
yeah.
is, well, what I'm guessing is, first there was the impulse to call in.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
ego says, don't call in.
Yeah.
And what we identify with
yeah.
is, ego says I shouldn't call in.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's
yeah.
saying there's an intuitive sense,
mm-hmm.
wow,
mm-hmm.
this process is probably everywhere. Then
mm-hmm.
ego comes in to say, no, if you could just see this process everywhere,
right.
then...
yeah, yeah. And that process about it just sliding in after the heart impulse comes,
exactly.
it's just everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
for all of us.
For all of us. So, the content is, I have been addicted to the weather app.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's not a lot of things, there's not TV at the monastery,
right.
there's not da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
So,
but there is weather.
But there is weather, you know. And, there was this little voice going on, like, are you sure you need to look at the weather,
Again.
Again. well, you know, it's just the weather, you know, just justifying, you know, the weather. So, but, you know, this little niggly thing that maybe this was a distraction and not useful for being present. So, I adopted on one of the radio shows, Sherry was talking about just going home, or I don't know whether she said at the end of the day, but that's when I adopted it, for at the end of the day, just sitting for 10 minutes and breathing and just being open to what life has to drop in. So it's been really lovely, and I've really been enjoying that a lot. And it, so anyway, so I was sitting outside the other night, and it was, I mean, every night is just exquisitely beautiful, you know, and I was sitting and watching the clouds, and it just dropped in with such clarity. I don't want to look at the weather app anymore, you know, this is weather. This is real weather.
Right.
This is not a weather app.
Right.
And
this is the experience.
This is the experience of weather. And just knowing that all I really, what I wanted to do is be with what's happening now with the weather. And to get a sense of just weather unfolding and being in touch with just the smells, the changes of, you know, in the air, the, you know, all of that. And that will tell me everything I need to know to be prepared for the weather.
Well, because even as you describe that, it's like, I don't need to be prepared, really, right? This is it, right? So I'm actually here in this moment having the experience. If I need to grab a sweater, I'll grab a sweater. If I need to take off the a layer, I'll take off the layer. But
And it's that weather app is shockingly inaccurate. Most of the time. And there's nothing so ridiculous. It's not putting a sweater on because the weather app
because says it's not that cold.
It's not that cold.
So
so it was just so complete. There was no struggle with it, or there was no, it's like, the end. The end. It's just, and I hadn't, and I guess, I hadn't, like, gone into this, like, I've got this addiction, I've got to stop it. You know, this is not what I want, you know. It was just, I don't know, just kind of an unfolding.
From what you describe, it's like the whole thing happened in presence, right? So it sounds like it started to dawn on you that, there may be a bit of an addiction process happening around this seemingly benign little tiny content, but little conversations started to catch your attention, like, gosh, do I really need to be doing, well, it's only the weather, well, sort of this little seemingly innocuous conversation. And so it sounds like from what you described, there began to be a little bit of a koan, just kind of looking at that, being with that. And then in this practice that you've adopted of just sitting at the end of your days for 10 minutes and just breathing, just being there, that's such a space of just practicing the process of presence. And in that presence, anything that wants access to us has it, right? So then in drops this, you know, I don't actually want to do that anymore. And then there it is. It's just there. It's not a, I shouldn't, and from now on, and if only I could, and I, there isn't that ego struggle. There's just that realization in presence.
Yeah, and as you're reflecting that, it's just like, what's, there was, there's a sense of not going at it directly. It was, a transformation happening, but it just kind of slid in from the side. You know?
It just slid in from the side. I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. And so that's, I just, that's just the process that I I just wanted to look at a bit more, because there's often just this, you know, list of things I've got to change.
Right, exactly. There's this one, and there's this one, and there's this one.
There's a whole long list of things that need to happen to be, you know, okay.
Yeah.
And so just to see this, it seemed very kind, and kind, loving, and powerful.
Kind, loving, and powerful. And that there's a sense that, gosh, you know, this is probably applicable in so many areas. Mm-hmm. So instead of having these lists of things that need to change and then going at them in that kind of head-on sort of a way, bringing that same process of presence to it, it sounds like. And almost, it reminds me, Sequoia, of a discussion we had, I think it was Thursday night here, where we were talking about that trust of things unfolding. So almost like that sense of, so here's this weather thing, and without me doing anything about it or needing to change something, just having it be there in presence, and then when there's something to shift, it just shifts.
And of course, I'm looking at this, working with the ultimate addiction to ego. And
And the patience there is with that.
And the patience, to keep seeing all of those ego addictions, like,
Ego's addicted to itself.
It's like, oh God, it's a walking ball of ego, you know, that, and to know that, that quite possibly that same sort of presence, patience, and just willingness, you know, just, I don't know, I don't know how to do this thing, then I'm just going to sit here and be quiet.
Yes, exactly. And what occurs to me as you say that is that in those seemingly tiny examples, like the weather app, that what we get to have an experience of in that is that I'm not addicted to it. I don't actually even want to do that. I don't. So what we get to have an experience of is that isn't me. And so then with those seemingly tiny ones, we begin to have a growing experience that, gosh, well, maybe that whole ball of ego addicted to itself, you know, wanting to be an I, isn't me either.
And as you say that, you know, that little tiny thing, the weather app, as I've sat and waited for information on life, there's always been, it always seems like it's delivered information on tiny things, you know, just really little bitty things. I keep waiting for the big ba-boom, you know, about what do I do with my entire life, but, you know, I just get things about weather apps, but... as we speak this morning, I realized that there was nothing tiny about it.
That's right.
It was a very powerful teaching.
Very powerful.
And,
because, in a way, that it was that teaching, right? That the thing was, well, let me look at this thing on my phone to see what my experience is. And what you got was, this is my experience. So same process, right? You know, where's the big ba-boom that's going to tell me about my whole life? This is my life. This moment. Because if we never ever had that conversation again, of what about my life? What do I? If we never had that conversation again, in every moment we'd be having our life.
And I'm just so struck as you're saying that is that. You know, just to sit and see how beautiful the clouds, the beauty, oh my gosh, just the magnificence, and to see that that's applicable to our lives and at this moment, you know, and it just,
It's moving.
It is very moving. And I recommend that. Sitting still.
Yeah, really.
Non-doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. Because what a powerful, I always for myself think about it as kind of a powerful signal to the whole system, that I'm prioritizing, quote, doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was really changed that everything I was going to
do. Completely different.
Completely different. Because it was as I was going to talk about something as if there was something wrong with it and to fix it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And there isn't.
Right.
Anything wrong with it.
Yes, that's what that was coming up for me a lot in that last conversation too. That it was, it felt like the whole thing was coming from, well, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was looking at, you know, listening.
Listening?
And actually taking the guidance. Uh-huh. I was looking at that process and what happens. And the way I was coming at it was, well, I want to change it. You know, I want to hear the guidance and I want to take action and do the guidance. Right.
Mm-hmm. So kind of get better at that process.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Listen better, really take it in, act on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but transformation doesn't happen that way.
It doesn't. Right.
And so, being present is really all that's required.
That's right.
And so, it's like, okay, well, I can just drop it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so great, Renee, isn't it? Because what you're describing, which is true for all of us, we're back to the addiction to ego, right? So, the ego is going, now, how can I really listen and take that in and really act on it, and right? Even though it doesn't care a whit about any of that. But in the just being present, well, what's there for me in that?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? How am I going to resist? Well, it's not. So it doesn't want that answer, right? So it's that place of, you know, we all know the right answer, but we don't like it, so we keep asking the same questions, right?
Yeah.
Well, tell me again, I mean, what should I really do? How should I really, because I really want to. I really do. I'm just not sure how to.
When really doing nothing is the answer.
Yes.
The opposite of that.
Exactly. Right,
to do something.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really relaxing.
Very relaxing, very relaxing. And really is a big role of reporting and listening, isn't it? Because I was thinking about that as Sequoia was talking, that place of when something like that happens to us, when we have an addiction fall away, recording from that place so that we have those recordings to go to when we're right back in the, at least for me, the invisible addiction to the ego, right? Because I would project that feels like it comes from a pretty sincere place. Like, I know that guidance is really valuable. I know it's going to assist me. I've had that experience in the past. And so I really want to see how, right? We don't see how it's gotten folded back in to the ego process. But then having the recordings available to us where we recorded from that other place can really be that mirror that assists us.
Yeah, yeah, because it's just a forgetting.
It's just a forgetting.
You know, all I really want is to be present.
Exactly.
You know, and so then I don't do all the things to be present.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, exactly.
It's just, I just won't be.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly so.
So remembering to do those things, sit for 10 minutes in the evening, doing that thing, recording, listening, you know, just doing, because the ego will just take over everything and turn it into, I have to do something to fix it. And I just had a huge transformation happen in my life. Like, it was just completely upended, turned over, and cleared out. Kind of.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have anything to do with it. I had nothing to do with it.
Right. Isn't that so amazing to
see? It was amazing. And I've been trying to figure out how to make it happen.
How am I going
to
upend, turn over, and clear everything out?
Yeah.
Huh? How shall I go about that?
I was here on retreats, waking up in the middle of the night, writing notes down, trying to figure out how to fix this problem. It's been like 10 years. And then it just happened without any effort for me at all. Like, I mean, maybe there was some. Maybe I showed up. I don't know. But
well, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, showed up, and I would project that it's practice that allows you to experience it that way.
Yeah. And then when it happens, to be present.
Exactly.
So that the same addiction doesn't start over.
Yes, exactly.
The same behavior that caused it or something like that.
Yes.
But, you know, and I've been like, checking in,
yes.
Constantly.
Yes, yeah. I was just having a lovely experience just like that, I think, from what you're describing this morning, where listening to a playlist of recordings that I made, being in one of those places where everything was just opened up, right? Just one of those places of going straight through something that I don't want, right? I don't want this. But being willing to sit right through it, and having that glorious place of spaciousness that comes with that, of being present to something, quote, I don't want. Mm-hmm. Recording from that place and getting to listen to those recordings and having it be such a gift that truly it feels like that person is giving me guidance on how I actually want to be in my life.
And just one more thing, I had a recording this week experience where there was an obsession going on and it was anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did the two-handed recording. Mm-hmm. Completely disappeared. I don't even know how it happened. Like, I was, you know, I would wake up in the middle of the night, in the morning, mm-hmm. with anger, and it was turning into hatred. You know, mm-hmm. it was, part of it was that. Mm-hmm. And did the two-handed exercise,
mm-hmm.
and let that get expressed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just let the mentor talk, and,
yes.
and it was just, it just disappeared. I mean, it comes back kind of lightly,
yeah.
like, you know, but then I was like, no.
Yeah.
I just start to say what I said, and I keep listening to that mentor recording.
There it is.
And it just disappeared.
There it is. So it sounds like from what you're describing, you really got to step back from it. You got to have that experience of disidentifying from it. And that first step is so critical, isn't it? Just letting that speak. Whatever's going on, uncensored, just letting it out there. So not having a relationship with it of like we've been talking about so far, trying to fix it, change it, make it different, you know, cool practice with it, but just letting it be there. And then it sounds like really getting to hear it from that much larger place, from that mentoring place, being able to offer that mentoring, and then it truly does dissolve because it's an identity, right? It's an identity. But when we disidentify and move into that mentoring place, we're in a completely different relationship with it. And if there's the willingness to keep practicing going back to that mentoring place, then every time the little bits of it come up, it never gets the traction. Because your attention is always going back to that mentoring place that you practice going to.
Yeah, the resistance to listen to it is huge.
Oh, yeah.
So I have it on like three different devices.
So no excuses.
So there's no excuse.
Seven headphones, three devices. Yeah.
So it's ready at bedtime, it's ready in the car, it's ready, so you know, good. So I just keep listening to it.
That's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, yeah. And then the practice becomes, you know, over time, watching how that will fade, or I forgot, or what about, you know? And then when that process can be brought into nothing wrong, then as soon as we see it, we just come back.
Right. Yeah, because there's nothing wrong with any of it. Yeah. That's what's so hard to get.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what's so hard to get, because that's the thing, that's the linchpin for you. Mm-hmm. Without that, the jig's completely up for it.
Right. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with any of it.
Then all there is to do is sit there.
And what was that?
Then all there is to do is sit there.
That's right. All there is to do is sit there. And then what's so funny is that the sit there can look a million different ways.
Yeah.
I could be doing dishes and sitting there.
Yeah.
I could be sitting there and sitting there. I could be driving to work and sitting there.
Yeah, yeah. The practical things are, you know, to do, but this is just all abstract, you know.
Yes.
The doing that, you know, it's talking about.
Right. The doing that happens in the head.
There is no doing. Yeah.
It's like the weather app. The weather is on the phone,
exactly.
Not in the air. The doing's in the head, not the.
Exactly.
Pasha, then we'll come to this one.
There's so much to say.
The folks here, Pasha?
They're just overwhelming. But this is my last few days on the Wisdom Monk program, and I just want to express gratitude for the monastery, for this practice, for this opportunity mm-hmm. to come here mm-hmm. and practice.
And for the people willing to take advantage of the opportunity, yeah?
Yes. Now it's it's always been just showing up.
Yes.
Because now it feels like it's such a part of my life that I'm planning to be here next year same time.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it's just like...
You can put Pasha on the calendar right
yeah,
there.
It's just like
it must be July. Pasha's here.
Yeah. It's like on the open air, Sherry says to Michael, very well, I'll see you next week or something, you know. So it's just such a regular thing
that
is very supportive, you know, that something I can count on.
Yes.
And that's huge.
It is huge. It is huge. It reminds me, Pasha, of when sometimes neighbors of the monastery, folks who come to group, will talk about, you know, it's February and freezing cold and raining on a Thursday evening, and the voice wants to say, well, should I go to the monastery? And there's this, what do you mean, should I go to the monastery? It's Thursday night, I go to the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. It's so helpful to have those things that are just, it's not a question anymore. It's just what we do.
Yes. So for me, it's the same kind of adopting to the weather, and it doesn't matter what it's going to be, I don't know. Like,
July, let's see. I wonder how it will be at the monastery. Yeah.
So I just so it becomes kind of like a regular thing. So it's kind of like nothing special, but at the same time it's very special.
Yes.
Right. So it's
kind of like our lives.
Yeah. I have a lot of things to practice with, and I'm amazed. Some things, kind of like, well, it was there before, and here it comes again, and it comes here more clearly, right?
Uh-huh.
So it feels like it's only thing that is here, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's here. It's visible.
Uh-huh.
It happens every day in my life,
unnoticed. Yes.
But here it comes again.
Mm-hmm.
And
so here, it's very visible to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And also here, there's so much support and tools to practice with.
Yeah.
And also I have countless recordings on like multiple recorders to take with me, right? From this stay, and some of them are addressing these specific issues. And what was helpful to use that process, where Sherry was talking about it, I guess it was talked about all the time, kind of talking to the one who has that hook, that conditioning hooks him too, right? Talking to him like, okay, well, this is kind of place where it gets you, like what is it you are trying to get there? What is it? Why are you listening?
In other words, if I'm tracking you, so in your recordings, you can be talking to the Pasha who gets hooked.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And so to remind him, so what is it that you're looking for there? You don't actually need to go for that hook.
Yeah. But what is it you need? And then I go look deeper and I see that he is looking for something else.
Yes.
But the conditioning hooks him into conditioned stream of like suffering.
Right.
But when I address his need and tell him, okay, that's how it gets you. This is what you need. I can get you what you need. And it's not helpful, as you know, like going there, and that's how it creates suffering. And I'm just talking, and kind of giving, like laying out such a small details, and giving him exactly like addressing his need head on.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Without like conditioning story, like how this need is not met, and will you get it, and like a long story.
Because that need is always going to be some version of unconditional love, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's always some version of that. And what I project onto what you're saying is this great patience on the part of that mentoring perspective of, hey, and let me just remind you, don't need to get hooked by that. Right?
Yes.
Let me just remind you, don't need to, you know, don't forget, don't, you don't need to get hooked, but just want to tell you, don't need to get, right? Because over and over and over, that's what's happening.
Yes.
We're getting hooked, we're getting hooked, we're getting hooked, we're getting hooked.
Yeah.
But that mentoring presence is always ready to just say, well, you actually don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and my experience also, when his need is met, then, like, there was a day when I just caught, like, okay, here's the three things that kind of gets him in kind of lately. Let's address them all, and then I kind of talk at length at each of them,
uh-huh.
and again, couple times to just make sure there is nothing opens left. Is everything just filled with unconditional love?
Uh-huh. Let me just fill all the spaces.
Yes, all the spaces. And also, for me, love is understanding. So what they got is they felt understood in their need.
Yes.
Right? So, and then there was a pause. Like nothing can get through. Like no conversation. It just even arise because it doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
It's just such a small thing compared with this huge unconditional love that just got loaded.
Yeah.
Like what? It's just not comparable. It's just not compelling.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, such a relaxation and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my experience. In the whole body of relaxing and receiving what is here and being so present. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And that's such a beautiful description of the whole thing is filled with unconditional love.
Mm.
So in that pause, in that space, it's not a vacuum that the voices have this huge opening to come to.
Yeah.
There's just such a being able to relax into that space of, it's that peace quote of Sherry's, right? A heart that is completely surrounded by love cannot be harmed.
Yeah.
So the whole being is surrounded by that unconditional love.
Yeah, and that was also kind of assuring, and like Sherry said, you know, mentor turns into a hunter. And kind of protect them. Okay, what's next? Let's see.
Right.
What you've got.
Exactly. Right, that the mentor, that's that awareness that always has that expanded awareness of, it's back there.
Yeah.
Conditioning is always up to something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I'm just, we are good now, right?
Yeah.
It's that the awareness is always expanded, ready to feel whatever it's going to try to throw in there.
Yeah, yeah, and I saw it clearly because in such a presence and watching and waiting and also being in love, it's, you know, like, my experience when I'm in love, then whatever comes, we'll just deal with it.
Exactly.
It's always like, you're like invincible, or what's the word?
Well, that's good.
Nothing can get you.
Nothing can get you.
Yeah.
You know, Sherry talks about that image of like, the car breaks down. Great, we get to hang out together, waiting for whatever. The repair guy to show up, or we don't care.
Yeah. Life is an adventure, you know, like,
took the wrong train to the wrong city. All right, cool.
And then I saw how the next thing it was kind of slipping in into kind of innocuous commentary, what's going on. You know, it's like conditioning, trying to be that old companion. I'm just here just saying what's happening. You know, you just going there. You're doing your task, you're doing this, you're doing that, look at that, look at that. It's like, well, okay. like, do I really need this
right.
commentator?
Right. So,
I'm not like an.
I don't need a weather app, thank you. I've got the weather right here.
Yes, exactly. I can see what's happening. I don't need a conversation on top of that.
Yeah.
So there was a big moment to see how before the one who is listening would be like, well, okay, but at least I have a company, you know, somebody is here with me, walking around with me, and talking everything I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm not alone, we're just two of us, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's like a chit chat.
Uh-huh.
Right? What's wrong with a chit chat? Mm-hmm. It's not hateful, it's mm-hmm. not offensive, it's just. You know, so then, okay, again, here's again the process. Okay, Pasha, you're listening to Chicha. This Chicha is a slippery slope. It'll get you to the bottom of the pit very quickly if we don't address it. You know, this Chicha is not helpful. This is the conditioning getting its foot into the door. What you want to be, you want to be in love. You want to be here, breathing, present.
Yep. And then you come back.
Life unfolding.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm here with you.
Yes.
I'm your companion.
Yes.
Life is your companion.
Presence.
We have a company.
Yes.
You're not alone.
Yes.
This is, the image came up. You are so big that you know, like dogs, where sometimes they chase their tail.
Mm-hmm.
I project they think because the tail is somebody else,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the same. I'm so big that kind of my tail is kind of a company. It's like it's kind of like not me,
uh-huh.
but it's me.
Right.
But it's here,
right.
and I see it,
yeah.
and I'm kind of interacting with my tail.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And my tail is this everything kind of
uh-huh.
that looks like outside,
uh-huh.
but that's not outside.
Yes,
it's just kind of the other end of me.
Yes, got it. Yeah. So presence is always where we're coming back to.
Yes. Yeah. So there is no need for the companion.
Yes.
So the mentor started talking about this companionship, and there was. So powerful process of addressing, like catching, how conditioning gets me, what's going on, what's behind it, let's go at directly.
Yes.
You know, let's, there was previous process of like, okay, I'm just dropping, I'm coming back to this, and slightly gets me again. Okay, dropping again, coming back, but before I do that, I need to face it. And once I face it, then I can be just talking. Sorry about talking too much. I can talk non-stop forever.
There's a lot to see, isn't there? It's one of the perils of the visiting monk program. Right? There's a lot of time to see.
Yes, yeah. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. And food was amazing again.
Thank you to the Academy, right?
I don't know that expression, but I kind of get the sense of what it means.
Yeah. what I just said?
Yes.
You mean it's just a reference to it's that joke of the Academy Awards.
Uh-huh.
You know where what the Academy Awards are?
Yeah.
Where they get up there and there's just so much to say and there's like 30 seconds to say it, right? So the music in the background is going, it's like, and thank you to Mom and my first grade teacher and my...
Yes, yes.
Thank so you. Much we can say, there's so much gratitude.
Yes, so much gratitude for everything. And I feel like I'm living with hands full of gifts.
Mm.
And I'm taking it to outside.
Mm.
And and I'll be back. And that's my commitment. And nothing amazing, kind of mind-blowing happened, and I'm going
except being here.
Yes, which is amazing always.
Yes.
So So I'm practicing with continuing my practice because I can, and because that's part of me, not because I had this mind-blowing experience on the top of the hill, you know.
Yes.
So and it's not for the experience I come, but I come for the experience. I don't know, it's not for just kind of one time thing I'm going to see and oh my God, I'm done.
That's right.
Right. I'm coming for again and again because it's just part of me, and I am so lucky that I have this opportunity to do it. I'm just the luckiest person in the world, you know, to have a monastery, to be able to, and to have support. It's just amazing, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Pasha. June.
I love the way group mutually, really often, just addresses what I'm looking at.
Me too.
I have a list of addictions about this one. And it's a huge pull towards self-hate and punishment.
Mm. Having those addictions is a huge pull towards self-hate, towards punishment.
Yeah. So during meditation, dropped in 30-day retreat.
Oh.
Let's see, around a particular content.
Mm-hmm.
And so many things that have already been said in group will be aspects of the 30-day retreat, addressing you know how addictions are also just habits and routines?
Yes, yes.
So one of the things is kindness, non-punishment.
Yes, so good.
Yeah. One of them is, there will be a behavior change, so one of them is record during the behavior change. I thought about writing, recording while you're doing the thing.
Yes. You
record constantly.
That's great. While you're doing the behavior change.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Also, not giving up anything.
Yes.
I'm separating things that. I'll tell you part of the content. One is eating breakfast at the computer.
Uh-huh.
No, just separate it. Uh-huh. You can go to the computer, you can eat breakfast, you can whatever,
right. You're
not giving up anything.
Yes.
Just moving apart.
Yeah. And that, to me, feels like that kindness piece that you're talking about, right? Kindness instead of punishment, which opens up the space that I think we were talking about earlier, that if there is something in there that I actually don't want to do in terms of from authenticity, then it will fall away. But if I come at it from that place of punishment, now you can't do that. You can't be on the computer. You can't, because that's the wrong thing to do, and it's never going to work. There's always going to be that ego fighting the ego place.
Because I've done that a million times.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, yeah. So really seeing, first of all, loving how coming to group so often speaks to exactly what everyone we're looking at. And so with a particular addiction, seeing, gosh, drops in, the 30-day retreat, that could be a way to work with it. And then having a number of things that are said in group inform how you might want to work with it on a process level.
Yes, yeah. And the big thing is add love.
Yeah.
When I'm doing the behavior change,
yeah.
Just be in love.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's that place.
And that's what recording is about.
Yes. Yes. It's about getting present to the love. that is in it. Right? Because you know what I just saw when you said that, actually, Jim? I don't think I've ever seen it this way, but it's kind of like that thing of people calling into the radio show, well, ego said I shouldn't call in, so I'm calling in, right? Ego says I should drop this addiction, so I'm dropping this addiction, right? But when I really look at it, I bet you, well, why truly would I want to do that? Well, because on some intuitive level, I know that's not what I want. I know that's not what's best for this person, and I love her. And I want to help her have the experience that's actually possible for her. So to really come at it from the love place and to be recording when I'm in that place, when I am actually choosing the thing that I want for her. Yeah.
So, gratitude.
Ellie and then Michael.
Another advocate for the Visiting Monk Program. Uh-huh. Oh, man. I was reflecting, it's been 4 years since I first came to the monastery this mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. And so much has shifted. And I can just see how it's come from this place of kindness for the being, even when I didn't know that was where it was coming from. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool to reflect back on. Because when I first came here, I was like, I don't know what it's doing.
Right.
Still okay. don't know
I'll
what it's doing.
I'll take my slippers, I'll wash my hands.
Yeah. So that's...
It kind of builds that faith, doesn't it? To see that, oh, all along the kindness was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we can know that even the times where it doesn't feel like that's going on, you know, maybe where we're struggling with whatever, we can know that on some level that is there. We just can't always feel it.
And yesterday I had a huge workshop. I wasn't feeling well. Mm-hmm. And I got to see so much in that. Mm-hmm. you know, and one of the big things I got to see is I've been looking at how the helper shows up in my life.
Mm. Right on track with the Eno class.
Yeah. So, and my initial response was, well, that's not really present for me. And
when you first read the assignment.
When I first read the assignment, I was like, this doesn't really work.
Right. So let me just give a quick background, Ellie. So in the Enneagram email class, what we're looking at is we're all nine types. Yeah. And so we happen to be on the two, which is the helper.
Yes.
And so we're being offered the opportunity to look and see, how does that show up for me? So it sounds like for you, the first impulse was, well, not really. That one doesn't really show up.
Yeah.
Which is one of those big red flags. Well, that one must be big.
Well, and so I was totally like, okay, well, I'm gonna work with this.
Yes.
So I've been working with it. And yesterday, being told to go rest, and there was I just saw the immediate beat, like the mm-hmm. beat down of like, you are not, and what I've seen before where self-care and contribution get in conflict with or seeming conflict with each other.
Yeah.
And that my tendency is to put off self-care until it can no longer be put off.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw yesterday that was new is that what's underlying that is this sense that my worth is based on my contribution.
Yes. Yes. And so the belief is I have to put off, quote, self-care, because my contribution is what makes me okay.
Yeah.
So, and those two things get put in conflict. If I, quote, take care of myself, then I'm not going to be a contribution. So I can't go lie down, because then I'm not a contribution, through ego's eyes.
Yeah. Which is totally the helper. Like,
exactly.
I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
That's not how I really wanted to see that, but okay.
Well, and we want to, though, right?
Yeah.
Ultimately, right? Ultimately. And what's so perfect about what you're saying is that what we get to see in each of the nine ways is how it's all about me. So it's not really anything to do with helping. It's that I need to be a helper.
And I saw that personality would never accept Ellie's inherent worth and dignity and value, regardless of what doing is happening.
Exactly. Because from a step back place, if the process truly is one of helping, then Ellie needing something is no different than anything else needing something. Do you know? So there would be no self-care. Mm. There would only be, now Ellie's going to lie down. Now we're going to do dishes. Now we're going to, right? It wouldn't be different. It would just be, this is what is helpful right now. This is what is helpful right now.
And there was the experience of just lying down and being with this person in a different way. I love you. Just being with her in this physical pain, and it was really sweet.
Mm-hmm. And we can guess helpful to all. Truly, in the true sense of that.
There's another thing I've been looking at, which is internal background music. That is very often going, occasionally comes out on the recorder, which is awesome. And where, like so many things, like the contribution to self-care, like where does life participating become ego contributing? Where does the internal music become ego distracting me from what's here? And it's just, it's coming up in so many areas, and I'm seeing that it's the same process, I think.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, and it sounds like the metta process, if I'm tracking what you're saying, is that just watching all of it, not really needing to know, but just that sort of all the way back to the beginning of the conversation, where there's that, this is interesting. You know, there's music in the background.
Yeah.
You know, when is life just kind of, it's part of what's going on in life, and when is ego getting in there to, you know, cause distraction, and
Michael. I've been noticing the past couple of days, I guess because my visiting all the time is starting once in them too, things seem to be kind of coming together in wonderful ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of days, I think I'm starting to see that one of the wonderful things about practice is there's these times when I am consciously doing something like sitting or working with Make a Change for Good. There are times when I'm not thinking about it, but it's working on me.
Yeah.
It's like we're setting off processes that can work on us, even when we're not consciously thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I was out last, the moon has been unbelievably gorgeous.
Yes.
And I was out, I've been out every last couple of months. I was looking at the moon, now I call this my very first Halloween experience. You know, Halloween movies, I was always in the moon with clouds going through and spooky.
Yeah.
I was out there, it was the exact opposite experience. It was just the most beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I began to realize, because again, there's this page that I'm wonderfully obsessed with from the book, how you can undo your past and release your future by being here now. I began to realize that I was experiencing in the background. I'm not doing it. Something's going through all thousands of experiences in my past and just ripping the pain right out of me.
Uh-huh.
And making me realize that those were just constructions of ego.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it's like going to a haunted house during the day.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you go to a haunted house at night,
Right.
It's, you know, so even spooky. If you, it's so, so scary, you know, a guy jumps out. And, but you go in the daytime and you go, oh, that's not Frankenstein, there's the mask hanging on the wall.
Right, right.
Well, it didn't disappear, there's a trap door, and this is how it works.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like I'm able to look behind the scenes and see how ego has been spooking me and scaring me and creating these, you know, endless haunted houses and dungeons and things. And as long as I was buying into it, it had me going.
Wow.
And now it's just like this stuff is just falling away.
And I love that image that you're describing of it's just happening, right?
It was
so
just happening.
You have been sort of inputting it, if you will, by reading that page over and over and over. That's what you're, in a sense, feeding to the system. And so then it just starts working on it on its own without me doing it.
Yeah, and I could feel it in the wonderful soundscape of the monastery at night. It's just the crickets and the hoots, and it's just fabulous.
It really is.
And that's what I was paying attention to, but then I noticed this other wonderful thing going on.
Uh-huh.
And it's just taking the spooky stuff out of me from my memory.
Uh-huh.
And then the best little denouement to the whole thing was I finally went into the, I'm in the meditation office. And I was sitting there just listening to the sounds that I want a little light on. I was right there 20 minutes. I don't know how it happened. Suddenly there were two bats inside that house.
That's a rite of passage, Michael, having bats
in your room. I did not let them in. I don't know how they got there. And all of a sudden they're winging through because it's a little bigger than some of the other
rooms.
It was like 18 foot.
Yeah.
And they're flying at this amazing speed and this incredible dexterity. And because
she was missing you, right?
Actually, yes. They were like flying right by my head.
Yeah.
And I was just in ecstasy.
Wow.
Just absolutely in ecstasy.
That's when you know you have arrived.
At some other time in my life, it would have been really scary. But I could, you know, and then so I put the light out, and they would fly in and out of the light, and I'd catch kind of the scallop of their wings. And they don't sound like birds, and they look like they're different.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they're 2 inches from your
head. And just for the sake of the recording, this is very uncommon.
Also, in attendance at the monastery. No, I was almost tears were rolling down my cheek. It was so beautiful that these little beings, and one was right behind the other, and I don't know how they fly with that kind of speed and agility.
Yeah.
And they didn't touch the clothes on their head or nothing. And they just wheeled and wheeled and wheeled. And I wanted to be there with them.
Uh-huh.
But then I noticed that they'd stop and they tried to get out, see if there was a seam or the stone pipe went into it. Like they were starting to get frantic to get out.
Yeah.
And so suddenly I realized, I got to help them.
Yeah.
So I went over and I opened the doors. Yeah. It took like 5 seconds.
Exactly.
And
they see it.
They were out. Yeah. And I thought, that's perfect. It could not be more perfect.
Yes.
The bats, beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, there's so much in it, isn't there, Michael? I mean, just that, you know, if we wanted to look at it through sort of that metaphorical lens, that there is that love and that teaching. And as soon as we get it, we're ready to let it go. You know, it reminds me of that, you know, she or he who is enlightened in the morning doesn't mind dying in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a piece of it, is that willingness to just have it wash through in such a powerful way and not need to keep it. Just let it on its way.
Yeah. I just got the Halloween movie around the verse.
It's the same thing that's happening internally, right? All of that being let go, all of that washing through, all of that.
Yeah. See the beauty of what used to be scary.
The beauty of what used to be scary. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you all.